welcome to The Catholic Journey. This is Deacon Pat coming to you from just north of Houston in the Woodlands. And it is Christmas Eve of the year 2022. Boy, can you believe this year has gone by so fast. What an eventful year. I bet it's been eventful for you. It sure has been for me as well. It was an interesting year in the sense that it came with a lot of deep reflection. I lost a brother earlier this year who had been sick for a little while, and so it wasn't that much of a surprise. It was very painful every time that you lose somebody that's very close. And then just last week, I lost another brother. This one was unexpected, and I think I'm still, along with my other brothers, are still grieving the loss. Luckily, there were six of us. We have lost two now, so what an impact it's been, really, on our lives. I hope, though, that you can be surrounded by family and friends and people that you love. For me, it's been a real opportunity, I think, to reflect on the things that are important in life. It's sad that we have to go through, you know, tragedy and crisis to bring us back to thinking deeply about those kind of things. Too bad we can't do it all the time, but, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and He uses all things to draw us back closer to Him. So whenever you're going through a tough time, just know that God uses everything to really to bring you closer to Him. And it's a time to deeply reflect on where we are with our relationship with Him. Well, I wanted to share with you a message. It's a message about tonight, Christmas Eve, and then Christmas. And it's not a traditional message. So let me just jump right in, and we'll talk about it in a minute. What a special and holy night this is tonight. But to understand just how special this night really is, we need to go back to a night that was not quite so holy. It was a sad night, a pitiful night, a night of gloom and despair, a night of regret and remorse, of shame and disappointment, the first night that Adam and Eve slept outside the doors of the heavenly paradise called Eden. O unholy night, when the stars refused to shine. It was the night of our first parent's death. It was a sad night for the whole world, indeed for every descendant of that cursed and unholy couple. For God had pronounced a verdict on all humanity because of them, and that verdict was guilty. They had failed the test of test. Would they listen to the voice of their Creator, or would they listen to the voice of the serpent? Would they be faithful and obey the command of God, or would they be unfaithful and take what was not given for the taking? God said, "You shall surely die," and the devil said, "Did God really say?" A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. A little lie was all it took. A little misinformation, a little twisting and turning of the sacred word, and down into the grave they went. Did they not know that with every bite of that forbidden fruit, they were sticking daggers in the heart of the human race? And now, expelled from the garden, removed from the gracious presence of their Creator, Adam and Eve would have to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. No longer painless, childbearing would forever remind Eve of her sin. No longer effortless, work would forever remind Adam of his failure to resist the devil. Life without God, that is what they chose for themselves and for their descendants. By that one act of disobedience, the many were made sinners. By that one act of rebellion against their father, Adam and Eve wreaked more havoc than any terrorist attack, any hurricanes, or any nuclear weapon could ever unleash. In shame and regret, they hid themselves. Unable to walk before God with a clear conscience, they huddled in fear for their lives. That is what sin does. That is what sin brings: fear, despair, gloom, and regret. Every act of premarital sex, every drunken stupor, every glance at improper images on the computer, at some point, on some level, with shame and guilt. With every lie told, with every act of rebellion, With every word of disrespect towards parents and authority comes that old familiar friend, guilt. You know it, and I know it. That is the great lie, you see, the great illusion, that sin actually delivers what it promises. That is actually what makes one happy. That is really does give someone pleasure. Those are lies. Satan uses this to his advantage. He uses the weakness of our flesh to make us believe with all of our heart that we are doing and what we are doing will make life better, that it will result in happiness, that it, in the end, if we could just give it a chance, it will all work out for the best. And then he leaves us to wallow in our despair and misery when it falls through, when we get caught. He does what he did to Adam and Eve so long ago. He laughs, he jeers, he mocks us in our pitiful state. He hates you. It was a sad night, to be sure, when Adam and Eve gave birth to sin. But it was not without a hint of joy, not without a silver lining. For God had pronounced another word to them, a word of comfort, a word of reconciliation. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel, said the Lord to the crafty serpent. One of Eve's offspring would undo the damage that the devil had done through Adam and Eve. The world had a glimmer of hope. That promise was passed on from generation to generation. Generation after generation hoped in the Lord and longed for the day when Adam's fallen children would return to the paradise of Eden. That promise was not fulfilled in the generations of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses. It was not fulfilled in Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of the prophets. The prophets all spoke of a time when this promise would be fulfilled, when God would send help from above and rescue fallen humanity from the curse of sin and death. Isaiah spoke of a son born to a virgin, whose name would be Emmanuel. Jeremiah spoke of a new covenant that God would make with his people, one in which he would no longer remember the sins of men. All of the prophets looked for that day when Eve's son would finally come forth. For many centuries, God's people waited until finally, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. There in the arms of the Virgin Mary lay the fulfillment of God's promises to Adam and Eve, to Moses and David, and to all of his people. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Behold, a virgin conceived and bared a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. It was a happy night, a night full of joy and holiness, a night full of peace. That night when the Son of Mary was born in a Bethlehem stable, for it was the night that the doors to Eden swung wide open once again to let in Adam's fallen children. It was the night that God gave to the world a full and holy cure for sin and death in the person of his son. Eve's promised son had come to undo the damage that the serpent had done through Adam and Eve. A happy night indeed, and one worthy of remembering year after year as we do in the church. It is that holy night that gives us reason to be joyful and full of peace on this night. It is that night that gives us a reason to sing God's praises, to give thanks to Him who is Emmanuel, God with us. It gives us reason to defy the devil, who always wants to rob us of the joy that Christ would give to us. Tonight, we remember the holiness of nights. It was tonight, over 2,000 years ago, that God had become a child. He had become one with us to show us the way, to lead us, and to bring us to everlasting life. Well, that is my message to you. That is the message that's given to all of us. Yes, we can think of tonight in its earliest of beginnings in a very sad way, but the present that was given to us by God in His Son changed everything. May God bless you, may God keep you, and may you always be in His loving embrace. Merry Christmas.